Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Mem Zayin. We left off, Rabbi Leibowitz left off yesterday, the two dots, Mem Vav Amud Beis, two lines up from where the lines get wide. So we are going to pick up today with a discussion of the last part of the Mishnah, which had introduced a very interesting case, and then a cryptic comment on that interesting case. So what happens if a female cow gores a shor, and then after the incident, we find a fetus at the side of the female cow. It's undetermined, it's unknown whether the cow was pregnant at the time that it gored. In other words, whether the vlad, which is now on the side of the accident scene, was involved in the goring or not. So the Mishnah made a cryptic comment that appeared to imply that the para would pay chatzi nezek, and that the vlad, because it was a suffek, we're all talking about a tom, by the way, so that even the para only pays a chatzi nezek, and that the vlad, since we're mesupak, whether or not it was involved in the incident at all, is going to pay a quarter nezek. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Leibowitz actually mentioned yesterday that this doesn't appear to be correct, because the implication is that the nizak is getting three quarters nezek, which is not true. The nizak always gets only a half nezek, chatzi nezek. So we'll see exactly what this situation is. A couple of ways of explaining what we mean and why it would be the case that the parah pays chatzi nezek and the vlad pays revia nezek. The Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph is going to begin a discussion that's going to carry all the way through the end of today's daf and then into tomorrow's daf as well. And it's basically going to talk about, in a nutshell, what happens if somebody brings an object of his into the reshus of somebody else, into the yard of somebody else, and then either his object is damaged in the yard or his object does damage in the yard. And we'll see where the Gemara is. The Mishnah is going to introduce us to three cases which appear to be similar cases, but everything is going to hinge on whether the fellow whose item was introduced to the yard had permission to bring his item into the yard or not. We're going to talk about what does it mean, what constitutes permission. Do I have to say, in other words, what constitutes permission in order for me as the Balabayas to be chayiv for any damage that occurs to your object, which is in my yard? Do I have to expressly assume on myself obligation of shmira to watch your thing, or is it enough if I just give you blanket permission to bring your object into my yard? So we'll see that discussion in the Gemara as well. But first things first, where we left off yesterday, Mem Vav, Amud Beis, two dots, which are two lines up from where the lines got wide, V'chein Parah Shenag Kla'es Ashar. And similarly, a parah that gores a shor, and then again the vlad is found beside the parah, so then the bala shor collects chatzi nezek from the parah and revia nezek from the vlad. So says the Gemara, chatzi nezek, revia nezek, chatzi nezek and revia nezek. That doesn't make sense. Pal ganiska hu deboy shlume, kulin iska nechi riva maya vidite. The owner of the cow is mechuyev to pay chatzi nezek because it's considered to be a short tom which gores. So you should be mechuyev only to pay chatzi nezek in total. Why are you being mechayev him now three quarters nezek? What business does three quarters nezek have doing here? There is no such thing as paying three quarters nezek. So I'm rabbiya, chatzi nezek. When we say chatzi nezek, we don't actually mean half. We mean half of what the nizak is entitled to. In other words, in the aggregate, the nizak is entitled to chatzi nezek. So half of that nezek, i.e. a quarter of the nezek, is echad mi'arba benezek, or revia nezek, and revia nezek means echad mishmona benezek, one-eighth of the nezek. So in other words, when we say chatzi nezek and revia nezek, we're not referring to the total that you're paying, we're referring to the proportions of the total that you're paying. So if you have to pay in total a half, if we say the balapara is chayev for half of the half, it means he's chayev for a quarter. And when we say that the vlad is chayev for a quarter, it means a quarter of a half, which is an eighth. Okay, so it says, so says the Gemara, v'i para uvlad v'chad ninu, And if the para and the vlad both belong to one person, then hachanami dematzi amarle labal para mimanafsha chatzi nezek kavli. So, and the Gemara is observing that if the para and the vlad belong to the same person, then this is a silly trick that we're paying on the nezek. Then this doesn't make any sense. We're saying that the para is going to be chayev only for half of the nezek that is chayev for, and the vlad is only going to be chayev for a quarter of the nezek that you're chayev to pay in full. But if at the end of the day both the para and the vlad are owned by the same person, that person owes chatzi nezek to the nizak. So why should the nizak get shortchanged? Again, just for those who are bad at math like myself, I have to work through it. 1/4 plus an eighth is 3/8, which is less than 4/8, which is less than a half. So the question is, if they're both owned by the same person, and we know that this animal was involved in the goring, what difference does it make what portion comes from the vlad and what portion comes from the para? The guy should deserve, and the guy deserves chatzi nezek. He should be paid chatzi nezek. So, Ela lo tzricha, so says the Gemara, that lo tzricha de para dechad uvlad dechad, that the para belongs to somebody and the vlad belongs to somebody else. So Rashi, so the Mefarshim point out over here, we're not talking about a case of a guy who sells the rights in the vlad. Why? Because selling the rights in the vlad is a davar shaloba liolam, because the vlad is a davar shaloba liolam, so you actually can't sell the vlad to somebody else. What you can do is you could sell all of the interest in the para to somebody else except for the vlad. So in other words, if you withhold the vlad from the sale, then that's a way to actually create a valid transaction involving the vlad. Okay, so we're talking about a case where the para belongs to one person, the vlad belongs to the other person. Now, the ida kadim tave labal para tchila, and if the nizak would go to the bala para first and be tavea his chatzi nezek, so chanami diamar le labal para, so then it is the truth that he could say to the bal para, para didach aziktan, your para gored my shar, havli raya de isli shutfi, and then bring me a raya that you have a shutaf, in other words, bring me a raya that you have a shutaf and that the vlad is not owned by you, and then you could push me off and try to give me only a quarter nezek and have the other guy try to give me the other quarter nezek. However, ela dekadim tave labal vlad chila. Over here, we're talking about a case, again, two kimtas. We're talking about a case where the para is owned by one person, the vlad is owned by a different person, and the first person who the nizak was toveya for the damages was the bala vlad. So the amar leis, and then the bala para could say to him, well, goli adaitech the shutfi isli, the shutfi isli. So there was a gili das. You were megala das that you know that I have a shutuf, because who'd you go to collect from first? You attempted first to collect from the bala vlad. So from the fact that you went to somebody else, it shows, it's a gili das, that you know that I had a partner. So you then can't come and tell me, oh, well, it was your animal that gored my animal, and therefore you should pay me half nezek. No, because the nizek was megala das when he went to the bala vlad. It was an acknowledgement that there was somebody else, that there's a partner here with the bala vlad. And Rashi points out, therefore, the last Rashi on the Amud, Riva denizka hu demechayev in alach, that, and therefore it's only a quarter nezek that I owe you, because me and the Bal Para together owe you a half. The Bala Vlad Amarle, and the Bala Vlad can say to him, Ivadai im Vlad Nagcha Havi Anashutfoi Mechaiminale Riva Deniska. Hash the Mesafkale Shminis Mishtal Miminoi. And the Bala Vlad can say, listen, you already were Megalodas that you know that the Bala Para had a partner. So really, if you were certain that the Vlad was a separate entity from the Para at the time that it gored, then you would collect a quarter from me and you'd collect a quarter from him. We know that the Para was definitely involved, because the Para is a large animal, it was there. The Vlad, we don't know whether the Vlad was born before the goring, in which case it had no involvement in the Nezek, or if it was born after the goring, in which case we do have an involvement in the Nezek. Therefore, says the Bala Vlad, I am owed only 1/8. I'm owed only an eighth. So says the Gemara back in the Gemara, five lines up from the bottom, so Ika de Amri, others say like this, Afal Gav de Kadim Tave Labal Parat Chila, even if the nizak goes to the bala para tchila, to the bala para first, matzi matchile, he could still push him off. The amarle made the other the shut facely, because the bala para could say, look, I know that I have a shutta. So basically, the first Lashon said that the only time we get into this situation is when the Nizek goes to the Bala Vlad first, because if he goes to the Bala Para first, the Bala Para can't push him off. According to the Ikadamri, we could get into this scenario even if he goes to the Bala Para first, because once he goes to the Bala Para could push him off and send him to the Bala Vlad, because the Bala Para could say, I know for sure, Betana's Bari, that I had a Shutuf. Okay, so Amar Rava. So atu echad mi arba benezek vecha mishmona benezek katani chati nezek or avia nezek katani. But says Rava, I understand your explanation, because you were bothered by how can it be that this nizak is paid more than chati nezek, because the damages for sustaining a goring at the hands of a short time is chati nezek, and therefore you said chati nezek means a quarter, ravia nezek means an eighth, and therefore in the aggregate it's less than a half. That's all nice, but it doesn't say that. It says chati nezek or Ravia Nezek. So how do you get around that? So Elam Arava. So Rava says a different answer. Liolam b'para vlad v'chad. D'chad. Really, we're talking about a para and a vlad that's owned by one person. V'hachi amrinan. And this is what he's saying. Isa l'para. If the para's around, then mishtalim chatzi nezek mi para. Then just pay me chatzi nezek mi para, because the para is definitely here. We know that you owe me chatzi nezek. We know that everybody was involved. So just pay me chatzi nezek. Lesa lapara, however, if the para is not around, then mishtalim ravia nezek mi vlad. Then you pay a quarter nezek from the vlad. In other words, why do I pay a quarter nezek? Yes, it means a quarter nezek in mamish. And it doesn't mean that you're paying the quarter nezek on top of the chati nezek that the bala para already paid. What it means is that if the para's around, then it's chati nezek from the para. Plain and simple, very basic case. If the para's not around, and we know that the Vlad and the Para are owned by one person, we still have a suffix, was the Vlad involved in the goring? Because the Vlad may have been born before the goring, therefore, really, the guy owes Chati Nezek, but it's a suffix, because we don't know whether the Vlad was involved. This is like Sumchas, Maman Amutal B'Suffik Cholkin. So we slice in half. The one half gives you one quarter. So the second answer of Rava is that it's not a half plus a quarter, it's either a half or a quarter, depending on whether the cow is still here. So Taima, says the Gemara Vayter, Taima d'lo yadinan iavi vlad b'hada ki nagcha ilo avi. The reason that it's a suffek and the reason that he pays a quarter is because we don't know whether the vlad was with it, whether the vlad was still inside the cow at the time that it gored or not. Aval I pshitala d'havi vlad b'hada. However, if it was pashat that the vlad, was inside the animal, so ki nagcha mishtalim kule chatzin ezek mevlad. Right, and the reason that you only take a quarter from the vlad, even though they're owned by the same person, is because if it were pashut that the vlad was inside the animal when it gored, then you could definitely collect half of the nezek, because they're owned by the same person. The vlad was involved in the goring, so collect chatzin ezek from the vlad. However, now that we're mesupak whether the vlad was actually in the animal when it gored, even though we know it's definitely owned by the mazik, but we don't know whether it was involved in the nizak, therefore it's a suffik, therefore you collect only a quarter. Rava l'tameh, and Rava goes according to his own reason, says the Gemara, Diyama Rava, para she'ezika, that a para that's mazik, gova mevlada, you could collect from its vlad, assuming the vlad was inside the animal at the time that it gored, maitaima gufahi. Why? Because it's considered to be part of the same. It's considered to be part of the same. Part of the same goof. It's considered to be part of the same goof of the animal that did the goring. There's a big deal in the Rishonim whether this Gemara is a raya to the statement that we make that uber to the actually the question of whether uber yerech imo or uber lav yerech imo. But Tosfos seems to say that it's not a raya. Tosfos seems to say that it's not a raya either way in this machlokas. In any event, so the Gemara now says, even though if a para gores and there's a vlad inside the para, then you could collect from the vlad because it's considered to be gufa. The vlad is considered to be guf, and therefore when you have a chatzi nezek that you're mashalim me gufa, that includes the vlad. However, tarnagolas shezika inagova me beit sasa. However, a tarnagolas does damage and it has an egg. So let's say it does damage and I could collect only me guf. Am I allowed to collect from the egg? No. So you cannot collect from the egg. My taima pirsa bialma. Why? Because Rashi says it's a dover hamufrash mimenu. It's totally separate. It's a totally separate item. So Viyama Rava, and Rava says, Ein shamin lapara bifnei asma ulevlad bifnei asma, that you don't estimate the para itself and the vlad itself. So what does this mean? So Rashi clues us in over here. Aresha koi. Rashi divar maskel ein shamin. It says aresha koi. Shor shenagach es hapara the pila. If a shor gores a para, we're not going back on the first case of the Mishnah where the shor gored the para and the para had the vlad, and we don't know whether the vlad was born before the goring or after the goring. Vepila ein shamin kol echa bifnei atzmo. We don't evaluate the vlad separately from the para. She'olam d'mei anezek harbe, because then it's going to work out to be a very high damages bill. However, aval shomin para muberes kama hayse yafa tchila v'kama yishava achshav imesa imchaya. And however, what we do is we value the pregnant cow, how much the pregnant cow was worth before, and how much the pregnant cow was worth after. In other words, we don't break up the estimate of damages to evaluate each of the para and the vlad separately. We value them together. Why? So says the Gemara. Ella so the Vamar Rava ain't shomin lapara bnei atzma levad bnei atzma ella shomin levad al gav para. Why? Shem iata omer kainim sata makash esamazik. Because if you were going to do this, you would be makash the mazik. You would weaken the position of the mazik. Why would you weaken the position of the mazik? Rashi says that mafse, that you would be causing him a greater loss, because the value of the damages would obviously be greater if you're valuing the vlad separately from the para. And therefore you should have to and therefore we want to avoid that. And Rashi clues us in. I mean, there's not that much Gemara left before the Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to say, well, if this is the Ikar Adin, if this is the way to do the evaluation, then who cares whether the Mazik is going to be in a weakened position? Who cares if we're going to increase the bill given to the Mazik or not, if this is actually the way that you're supposed to evaluate the damages? But before we get there, yad avdo shel chavero, and similarly we say in a case where you chop off the hand of your friend's eved, where when you assess the value of the damage, we don't say how much would a hand be worth. Now, what does that mean? How much would a hand be? A hand alone is obviously worth nothing. Rashi says we don't say, if you go over to an able-bodied person, how much would I have to give you in order for you to permit me to chop off your hand? Because that person, if he's a normal person, would say, $1 million, whatever it is. Because, I mean, it's crazy. Nobody would let somebody else chop off their hand voluntarily for money unless it was an exorbitant sum of money. But what we do is we evaluate how much is this eved worth in the market able-bodied versus how much is this eved worth in the market crippled. So, in other words, instead of valuing everything separately, we're valuing the package. How much was it worth before? How much is it worth now? And similarly, the Gemara says, and similarly, you see, when a person damages the field of his friend, and Rashi points out this is where if a person's animal eats one row of crops that are planted, you don't value the row of crops separately because that's going to give you a higher estimate of damages. Rather, you value how much was the field worth before versus how much is the field worth now. So basically, by the para, you don't value the vlad separately from the para. You value how much was the para worth before pregnant and how much is the para worth now. Okay. So says the Gemara, so Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi v'dinahu l'chosh mazik. But if it's the din that this is the way the valuation should be done, so then let the mazik be weakened. Let's assess a greater damages bill against the mazik. Who cares? So says the Gemara, Mishim Damar Le Paramavarta Zikta Paramavarta Shamina Lach. Because he could say that look, I damage my shore, damage a pregnant para. Therefore, let's evaluate a pregnant para. Tosfa says that the havamina is that the para and the vlad are shnei gufin, and therefore you should value the para and the vlad separately. However, and therefore the Gemara says, well, if it's true that they're shnei gufin, then why should the mazik be? Then why should we care about whether the mazik is going to be weakened and whether we're going to assess a greater damages claim against the mazik? And what we wind up answering, says Tosfos, is no, really, para and the vlad are one guf. And because the para and the vlad are one guf, it doesn't make sense to value the vlad separately. Therefore, we value the whole package. How much was it worth before versus how much is it worth now? So says the Gemara, pshita para dechad, vlad dechad, pitma labala para. Now the Gemara is going to switch gears a little bit and say it's poshut that if the para belongs to one person and the vlad belongs to the other person, then pitma, then the fattening of the cow that occurs when it becomes pregnant, belongs to the bala para. That belongs to the bala para. Rashi points out over here, Rashi's helpful, it says, Masha shaman osa shaisa yaf emimne shomna. Its value has gone up because it's now fatter. Havi de bala para, the vlad machmase lo asi shomna. Because the fatness of the para is not due only to the fetus. In other words, so when somebody gets pregnant, they don't typically gain only as much weight as the baby that they give birth to. So by a cow, it's the same thing. They're getting just bigger. Not all of the largeness, not all of the gain is attributable to the fetus. And therefore, it belongs to the bala para. Now, nafcha mai. So nafcha means the expansion of the body of the cow. It's sort of difficult, at least for me, to understand what exactly the difference is between the fatness and the expansion, but it's, I guess, the more robust appearance of the animal. Who gets that benefit? So Rav Papa Amar Labal Parah. Rav Papa says it belongs to the Bal Parah. Rav Acha Breid Ravika Amar Cholkin. Rav Acha Breid Ravika says that you're Cholek. Milchus acholkin, and the halacha is that you divide. So, however you want to distinguish the nafcha from the pitma, however you want to distinguish this more robust appearance from the fatness all goes to the bala para. The nifcha, this robustness, is divided among the bala para between the bala para and the bala vlad. Okay, so next Mishnah. All about people who bring things into the rishus of somebody else, and then the thing either gets damaged or does damage. The halacha is going to turn on whether the item was brought in with permission. So a kader sheichnis kederos of the chatzar balabaya shelo b'rishus. If a potter brings his pots into the chatzar of the balabayas without rishus. So without rishus itself is a machlokas. Does without rishus mean that he stam went in and he didn't ask for permission? Or does without rishus mean that he asked if he could go in and he was told by the owner of the chatzar no? So machlokas what that means. But either way, he brought his pots into the chatzar of the friend without rishus. V'shavra b'emtar shel balabayis, and the behemah of the balabayis damages the pots. So potter, so the balabayis is going to be potter. V'muska b'em balak deros. And if the animal of the balabayas is damaged by the pots, then balak deros chayev, then the owner of the pots is going to be chayev because he brought his stuff in there without permission. V'michnes bershus, and if he enters with permission, if the balachatzer gave him permission, then balachatzer chayev, then the balachatzer is going to be chayev for any damage that his thing does to the pots. So hichnis peirosav lechatzar balabayis. Now another case that looks very similar, sounds very similar. If a fellow brings peiros into the chatzar of his friend shelo b'rishos, without rishos, v'achlosan behemto shel balabayis, and then the behema of the balabayis eats the peiros and causes the balapeiros a loss, obviously, then potter, then the balabayis is going to be potter because the balapeiros brought the stuff in without rishos. V'muska ben balapeiros chayev, and if the let's say the animal of the or let's say something in the yard is damaged by the peiros, and the balapeiros is going to be chayev. V'michlis b'rishos balachatzar chayev. However, if he brought the peiros in with rishos, then the balachatzar is going to be chayev for any damage that befalls the peiros. And Tosfos over here points out, you might be wondering, wondering already, even before we get to the third case in the Mishnah is going to be if a person brings his shor into the chatzar of Baal HaBayis without rishus. But the bottom Tosas over here says, the Divrei Maskal LaKadar, it says, Hanach Tosa Bavi Tzricha. We need the three cases of this Mishnah. You know, you might be wondering already with the first two cases why we need both of them. Velozu Avzuktani. Dita Kaderos. As if we only would have had the first case of Kederos, Havimina Breshus Chayev, I would have said that if he brings them in with Breshus, then the Balachotzer is going to be Chayev, Labisha Nochos Li Shaver, because they are easily broken in his stomach, Kibul Alein Yitirusa. And therefore, when then the Balabayas is agreeing that the potter could bring his pots into his Chotzer, Mistoma, he was Makabel Shmira on the pots, because he knows that they're very fragile. Avo Peros lo, however, by Peros, I might think just because I give you permission to bring your Peros into my chutzar doesn't necessarily mean that I'm also accepting upon myself the responsibility of watching them. Vitana Peros and Ochos Liskalkel, or maybe by Peros, also I would take upon myself simply by giving you permission to come into my property, I am accepting upon myself a Shmira with regard to the Peros, because Peros are also very easily trampled, very easily spoiled. Avol behema lo. However, by a behema, maybe I might think I'm not makabel shmira. Kamash malon. The halacha is the same in every case. And now the third case, back in the Mishnah, last line on the Amud. Hichnis shor lechatzar balabayis shelo bershus. If you bring your shor into the chatzar of the balabayis shelo bershus, v'noko shor shabalabayis, and the shor of the balabayis gores your shor, o shenashku kalbo shabalabayis, or the kelev of the balabayis, or the balabayis' dog bites your shore, putter, then he's going to be putter. Why do I need both the case of the shore goring and the dog biting? So the Tiferes Yisrael explains that it's a chiddush. Why? Because I might think that a dog is always prone to bite, right? Like yesterday Rabbi Libu spoke about a kelev ra. So a dog is always prone to bite, and therefore the balabayis should have locked up his dog. He should have kept his dog away from the shore. Kamash Balan, no, because the other guy brought his shor in without rishus. The balabayis is not mechuyev to take any precautions with respect to his dog. And similarly, what's the chiddush of the shor? Because a shor is more likely to gore another animal of its own min, the balabayis, I might have had a havamina, should have been especially vigilant with regard to its shor, and to make sure that the shor doesn't do anything and gore the other shor. Kamash Balan, no, the guy brought his shor in without rishus. The balabayis is not the balachotzer, is not required to take any extra precautions. However, so therefore you said, if it's brought in shelo bershus, if the shor or the kelev of the balachotzer does damage to the other shor, the balachotzer is going to be potter. However, nagachu shor shabalabayis chayev, if the shor that's brought into the property, that's brought into the yard, gores the shor of the balabayis, then the owner of the other shor is going to be chayev. Nafal the bor of ivish meimav, if the shor that goes in without rishos falls into the bar of in the chatzer and damages the water and spoils the water, chayev, then he's going to be chayev. Aviv obno letocho, if the father or the son of the balachatzer is inside the pit when the shor falls into the pit and falls on them and kills them, then mishalim is a kofar. Then the owner of the shor has to pay kofar. Vim hichnis bershus. However, if he enters with rishus, then balachatzer is chayev. Then the balachatzer is going to be chayev for damage that his ox does to the ox that is in his rishus. Rebbe Yomer, Rebbe says, "Bekulan ein chayev achi yekabel alav lishmar." So we'll see what exactly Rebbe means, but Rebbe says that in all of these cases, the balachatzer is only chayev, and the balachatzer is only chayev if he was mekabel shmira. So there has to be a separate kabbalah shmira, not just the permission to enter the yard. So says the Gemara, "Taima de shelo bershus." Okay, so all these cases, what we said was, if somebody brings in something shelo bershus and is damaged by the ox of the balachatzer, the balachatzer is going to be potter because he didn't have rishus. Okay, so taima de shelo bershus. The reason that the balachatzer is going to be potter is because the other fellow entered without rishus. Ha bershus, lo mechayev, balak teiros beniske behemto the balachotzer. However, if he did come in with rishos, then we would not be mechayev of the balak teiros for nezek, for damage caused to the animal of the balachotzer. We would not be mechayev him. V'lo amrinan kibule kibul balak teiros nitirusa de behemto the balachotzer. And we don't say that simply by accepting the invitation to bring his pots into the chatzer, that the balak deros accepts upon himself the responsibility of guarding the ox of the balak chatzer. Why would the balak deros accept? Why should he have to accept upon himself the responsibility of guarding the ox of the balak chatzer? Because once he is getting permission to bring his pots into the other rishus, we would think that he is accepting upon himself the responsibility to watch his items to make sure that they don't do any damage to anything there. But we see that that's not the case. Because we had said in the Mishnah, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, if the fellow brings his pots into the yard, birshus, then he is no longer responsible for any damage. He's not responsible for any damage that's done to the animal of the Bala Chatzar. So money Rebbe. So this is Rebbe. Diomar kol b'stoma lo kibbalo nitirusa. That anything, anytime there's a stam case, in other words, absent an express Kabbalah Shmira, you are not accepting Shmira on yourself. But then Eima Seifa, but look at the Seifa. Im hichnis pershus, if he was machnis pershus, then balachatz are chayev. Now we had said that if the guy brings in either his pots or his fruits or his shor to the chatzar of the balabayas, and the balabayas gave him permission to come in, then if the animal of the balabayas, if the shor of the balabayas gores either the shor or breaks the pots or eats the fruits, and the balachatzar is going to be chayev, asan the rabbanan. But now we're back to the rabbanan, the amri b'stamanami, kibula lai kibula nitirusa. Because over here, this seems to be saying that as soon as the balachatzar gives the other guy permission to come in, he's going to be chayev for any damage that his shor does to the thing that's now in his yard. Even though he was never expressly makabel shmira on the thing. But then Vesu, Rebbe Omer, and now the ultimate safe of the Mishnah says, Rebbe Omer, Bekulan ein chayev ad shekabel ala balabayas lishmar. And in all of these cases, the balabayas is not chayev unless he expressly assumes the responsibility of Shmira. So Reisha v'Seifa Rebbe Mesiyasa Rabbanan. So now it comes out that the Reisha of the Mishnah and the Seifa of the Mishnah are like the Shita of Rebbe, that you're not Mekabel Shmira on your object unless you expressly are Mekabel Shmira. And the Mitzia and the middle case is the Rabbanan, because the middle case appears to assume that the Bala Chatzar is chayev for any damage that's befalling that befalls an object that's brought into his chatzar, even if he never expressly was makabel shmira. So the Reisha and the Seifa is Rebbe, and then the middle of the Rabbanan, Samar of Zera. Yeah, Tavra, you're right. The Mishnah is broken. It cannot all be explained as going according to a single Mandi Amar. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, which whoever learned the first case cannot, in other words, that they were learned by different Mandi Amrim. So yes, the Reisha and the Seifa are Rebbe. And the Mitzia in the middle case is the Rabbanan. Rav Amar Kula Rabbanan. Rava says that this is all going like the Rabbanan. Ubershus Shmiras Ubershus, and in the case of Rishus, then Shmiras Kederos Kibbala Lav Bala Chaser Vafilo Nishpura Baruach. So Rava says we're going like the Rabbanan. However, when the balachatzar gives permission to the potter to enter, it's like an assumed kabbalah shmira. Why? Because the pots are so fragile that by definition we know that he is going to accept upon himself all responsibility for guarding the pots. However, the balak deros, who's bringing his pots into the rishus of the balachatzar, he is not accepting upon himself any chiyuv to watch what his pots do. It's only the balachatzar who's accepting upon himself the chiyuv shmira, but not the Baal Hakderos. Okay, so says the Gemara now weiter. So Hichnis Perosav L'chatzar Balabayas. So now the second case in the Mishnah was where the guy brings his Peros into the Chatzar of the Balabayas. So Amar Rav, Lo shanu. When do we say that? When do we say that if the peiros were brought in with permission, and then the animal of the bala chatzar was damaged by the peiros, and the bala peiros is going to be chayev? That's only esh ela shehuchlaka bahem. If the animal slips and falls on the peiros, aval achla. But if he eats them, putter, then he's going to be putter. Then the bala peiros is going to be putter. My taima. Why? Because habalei shalatochal. Because we could say that that the shor shouldn't have eaten. That the shor shouldn't have eaten. And the nezek therefore comes from the maisa achila of the shor. It does not come from the peiros. The peiros are considered to be only a grumma. They didn't cause the nezek. And grumma menezikin is potter. So that's why you could say, well, look, if your animal ate my peiros and then got damaged because it got indigestion, who told your animal to go eat my peiros? So Amar Rav Sheshes, Amina kinayim v'shachiv Rav, Amar la shmaita. Rav must have said this shmaita when he was dozing off. Why? D'tanya, because we learn the following. Hanosein sama maves l'pnei behemes chavero. If a person puts some sort of poison in front of the behemah of his friend, potter b'dine adam v'chayev b'dine shemayim. He's potter b'dine adam, but he's going to be chayev b'dine shemayim. So sama maves hu d'lo avidi d'achla. It's only sama maves that he's going to be potter because and chayev b'dine shemayim, because sama maves is something that the animal doesn't ordinarily eat. Aval peiros davide de achla. However, by peiros, where it's something that the animal usually eats, bedine adam nami mechayev. Then he would also be chayev in dine adam, because you know that the animal is going to eat this stuff, so you shouldn't have put this stuff in front of him. Vamai havilu shlo tochal. So, but if your claim was right, that whenever the animal is damaged through eating the peiros, we should not hold the bala peiros accountable, because we should say, well, the animal simply should not have eaten them. So why in this case over here am I saying, if I put poison in front of an animal, then I'm patur b'dinei adam v'chayev b'dinei shemayim. But if I were to put something that was edible in front of the animal, then I'd be even chayev b'dinei adam. So v'amai havelei shlo tochal, so amri, No. You're making a wrong diyuk. Really, yes, if I put poison in front of the animal of my friend, I'm patur b'dinei adam v'chayev b'dinei shemayim. So too, if I put peiros in front of the animal of my friend, I'm patur b'dinei adam and v'chayev b'dinei shemayim. V'akamash malon, and the chiddush is, that filu sama maves nami d'lo avidi d'achla chayev b'dinei shemayim. The chiddush is that by sama maves, even though it's not anything that I should have assumed the animal was going to eat, I'm still chayev b'dinei shemayim. That's the chiddush. Bibas Ema and others say like this, Samamaves Nami Bafrasta Dainu Pere, that Samamaves, you assume that when we say Samamaves, when we say poison, you assume we're talking about something that's not an edible. But why do you know that? Maybe the poison is some sort of poisonous root that the animal would eat. And therefore, you can't distinguish necessarily between poison and food, that the halacha would be different in those cases. Okay, a little bit weiter. Meisve. Ha'isha shenichnasa litchon chitin etzel balabayis. If a woman goes into the yard of her friend to grind wheat, shalob rishos, without rishos, v'achlata memta shal balabayis, putter. The behemoth, the balabayis, comes, sees the wheat, and eats the wheat. Well, the balabayis is putter, because the woman was grinding her wheat there, shalob rishos. Imhuska, and if the animal were damaged, chayeves, then the woman would be chayev, because she had no business being there. V'amai, neim ha'avilel shalotochal. But why is the woman chayev in this case? The damage that's done to the animal is damage done through eating, and if you want to say that whenever the animal is damaged through eating, we should say havelo shalotochal, that the animal should have known not to eat. Why is the woman chayev when the animal eats the wheat? Havelo shalotochal, the animal shouldn't have eaten. So amri yemiya difa mimasnisin. Okay, so is this kasha any more troublesome? Is this case any more troublesome than the case in the Mishnah? You asked the kasha on the Mishnah. Why is the bala peiros chayev? The animal shouldn't have eaten. And we said, you're right, we're not talking about a case where the animal ate it. We're talking about a case where the animal tripped over it, where the animal slipped on it. So to over here by the wheat, we're not talking about a case where the animal ate it. We're talking about a case where the animal tripped over it. But so what's the story with this case, though? What's happening? Samar lach bishlam amasisen ktani imhuska behen. The Mishnah, it says imhuska behen. If it was damaged through them, shehuchlaka behen who? And that's mashma that it slipped over, it tripped over the peiros. Aval hachaktani im huzka. But if Eir just says if it was damaged and it doesn't say bahem, veloktani bahem, achilu hu daktani. So that's mashma achila, because if it says it was damaged by them, that implies, according to the Gemara, that implies that they somehow were responsible for the damage. In other words, it tripped over them. It was damaged by them, as opposed to the statement Vahuzka without the article Behen. The Gemara is assuming means that it was damaged through eating and not through some sort of external damage. Vidach, Amr lechaloshna, and the other man, the Amr is going to say, no, your diach doesn't make any sense. Huzka behen, huzka, it means it was damaged. However, it was damaged. It could be eating, it could be tripping. It doesn't necessarily indicate one or the other. So Toshma, hichnis shora lechatzar balabayis, if you bring your shor into the chatzar of the balabayis shelo bershus, v'ochal chitin, and let's say the shor ate chitin, v'hitriz, and it got diarrhea, umes, and then it died, Potter, then the balachatzer is going to be potter. V'michnes brishus balachatzer chayev. And if the guy had rishus to be there, then the balachatzer is going to be chayev. V'amai havelosh lo yochal. Why? It's another case of achila. And if we're going to say every time the animal eats something, we're going to say that the other person shouldn't be chayev because the animal simply shouldn't have eaten. Why is he chayev here? So marava brishus ashalo brishus karamis. Are you asking me a kasha brishus ashalo brishus? The prior cases that we have been dealing with is when the person brought food into the chatzar, shelo brishus, and we were saying that ordinarily he'd be chaya for stuff, for damage that his stuff does, but if the animal belonging to the balachatzar ate the stuff, then he'd be potter because he shouldn't have eaten the stuff. But over here, we're talking about a case where the animal came in shelo brishus. The animal ate the produce of the owner of the balachatzar shelo brishus, and then was damaged on account of eating. So over there, you're going to hold the balachatzar liable. This other thing had no business being in his brishus. Brishus shelo brishus karamis. So brishus mi rashoro kibul alav v'achilu chinek asasmo. If it's brishus, then if it's brishus, then the balachatzar is makabel upon himself full shmirah of the shor, even if the shor chokes itself. However, if it's a case of shalobershus, then the balachatzar is not accepting upon himself responsibility for anything that happens to the animal, and therefore, if the animal dies on account, or if the animal is injured on account of anything that it ate in the chatzar, then the balachatzar could say, what do you want from me? Your animal shouldn't have eaten. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up more variations on this theme, a continuing discussion of the halachas and the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.